You're listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee, One Earth Economics, and Simple Living Works with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we're talking about the coronavirus and the prospects for the future. Greetings, Lee, from Sioux City, Iowa, and Simple Living Works.
Greetings to you, Jerry, from Southern California here in San Diego and Jubilee One Earth Economics. Well, let's just get right into this all-consuming reality we're in, the coronavirus. That's a global experience. Here's a quotation about this COVID-19 pandemic, with over a million cases now reporting. Quote, "This is it. We have arrived at the end of the world. Finally. Now we can start to build a new one. This is our chance to reshape ourselves as spiritual, scientific, and ethical beings." That quotation is from Zachary Stein, who's a philosopher of education working at the interface of psychology, metaphysics, and politics. He's currently an associate at Perspectiva, where he's working on transformative educational initiatives, and he's published a couple books, and he worked on this long essay, which I'm just quoting a little bit from, while he was in a nonprofit think tank and also teaching graduate students at Harvard. Here's more of a quote from him. "I have never been through a civilization-wide transformation before, and neither have you. We are in uncharted waters together. We are being shaped by vast and complex forces into becoming new kinds of people." And he concludes an essay that's several pages long. "Help each other to become new people. Otherwise, we will all demand that the world be put back together again, just as it was." Well, the focus of this episode is not getting back to normal in a world that was just as it was, because, of course, that world got us to where we are. So the message of the coronavirus is, with all of its disastrous impacts, the message is, figure out how to live differently. Figure out how to get yourself in sync with the planet. So what's important, I think, here is to realize that the coronavirus is a natural disaster, another natural disaster. This is not just a health disaster, but this is in the series of the disasters that we have with the wildfires, the rising sea levels, and such phenomena, the extreme weather and all that we have. It is more than a pandemic of these health systems and healthcare and life-threatening illness. This is nature at work. The virus is a living creature of the natural world. And in the last few years, nature has been sending us one strong message after another. You know, we've bloated the atmosphere with greenhouse gases. We've experienced the extreme heat waves. Well, with all these warnings and breakdowns in Earth's systems, the leaders around the globe continue to pursue profits for the richest. And they do so via an extractive economy, and we refuse to clean up after ourselves. So now, nature has sent an even more alarming teacher. It shows us that she has a lot of resources in her, or you could say a lot of quivers in her arrow. But in our species, this virus is really toxic. You see, this species had a symbiotic relationship with bats before it jumped to the human species. But that's not the way it affects the human species, where it's very toxic. And so this pandemic has resulted. And it's because we pushed, you know, we keep pushing into habitats where humans haven't been. And so we push into the habitat where these bats lived, and this results. So while fighting for lives of people, many are also asking, well, what can this virus teach us? Because there's a deepening sense as the days pass that something has to be different.
Indeed. This virus offers us another chance. the chance to learn how to live by nature's rules. In a recent ode, an imagined letter from COVID-19 to humans, Kristen Flins eloquently captures the profound psychological and existential amber in which humanity finds itself today. She evokes the sense and sensibilities of eminent psychologists such as William James, C.J. Jung, Jerome Bernstein, and their contemporaries who embodied the idea of an earth-centered psyche, Henry David Thoreau, Charlie Russell, Derek Jensen. Their writings expound extensively on life and intelligence beyond the merely human. So here's Kristen Flins' imagined letter from COVID-19 to humans. Stop. Just stop. It is no longer a request. It is a mandate. We will help you. We will bring the supersonic high-speed merry-go-round to a halt. We will stop the planes, the trains, the schools, the malls, the meetings, the frenetic, furried rush of illusions and obligations that keep you from hearing our single and shared beating heart, the way we breathe together in unison. Our obligation is to each other, as it has always been, even though you have forgotten. We will interrupt this broadcast, the endless cacophonous broadcast of divisions and distractions, to bring you this long breaking news. We are not well. None of us, all of us are suffering. Last year, the firestorms that scorched the lungs of the earth did not give you pause, nor the typhoons in Africa, China, Japan, nor the fevered climates in Japan and India. You have not been listening. It is hard to listen when you are so busy all the time, hustling to uphold the comforts and conveniences that scaffold your lives. But the foundations is giving way, buckling under the weight of your needs and desires. We will help you. We will bring the firestorms to your body. We will bring the fever to your body. We will bring the burning, searing, and flooding to your lungs that you might hear. We are not well. Despite what you might think or feel, we are not the enemy. We are the messenger. We are ally. We are a balancing force. We are asking you to stop, to be still, to listen, to move beyond your individual concerns and consider the concerns of all, to be with your ignorance, to find your humility, to relinquish your thinking minds, and to travel deep into the mind of the heart, to look up into the sky streaked with fewer planes and see it, to notice its condition, clear, smoky, smoggy, rainy. How much do you need it to be healthy so that you may also be healthy? To look at a tree and see it, to notice its condition. How does its health contribute to the health of the sky, to the air you need to be healthy? To visit a river and see it, to notice its condition. Clear, clean, murky, polluted? How much do you need it to be healthy so that you might also be healthy? How does its health contribute to the health of the tree? Who contributes to the health of the sky so that you might also be healthy? Many are afraid now. Do not demonize your fear, and also do not let it rule you. Instead, let it speak to you in your stillness. Listen for its wisdom. What might it be telling you about what it is at work, at issue, at risk, beyond the threats of personal inconvenience and illness? As the health of a tree, a river, the sky, tells you about the quality of your own health, what might the quality of your health tell you about the health of the rivers, the trees, the sky, and all of us who share this planet with you? Stop. Notice if you are resisting. Notice what you are resisting. Ask why. Stop. Just stop. Be still. Listen. Ask us what we might teach you about illness and healing, about what might be required so that all may be well. We will help you if you listen.
Thanks, Jerry, for reading that poem, I call it, although it's titled A Letter from COVID-19 to Us. It's such a powerful statement of listen to us. Please stop what you're doing and really listening, because we can't get your attention. We're nature's voice talking to you. Listen, listen, listen. You've got to change your way. Well, this is also picked up by the UN Environmental Chief, Inger Andersen. He chimes in with an eloquent understanding of nature. He tells us that nature has even more and greater powers at her disposal if we do not change our systems to align with hers. That's an ominous kind of threat, and yet, if we think about it, we know that nature is determined to reestablish balance and justice in the world. And nature will continue to work on that, and we just really need to develop new structures that do that. And that's one of the reasons why Jerry works with Simple Living Works and I work with Jubilee, because both of us are working on those kinds of structures. Well, here's what the UN Environmental Chief said. Nature is sending us a message with the coronavirus pandemic and the ongoing climate crisis. Andersen said that humanity was placing too many pressures on the natural world with damaging consequences, and warned that failing to take care of the planet meant not taking care of ourselves. So leading scientists join in with Andersen on this. The COVID-19 outbreak is a clear warning shot, given that far more deadly diseases exist in wildlife and that today's civilization is playing with fire the way we are behaving. These scientists have said it's almost always human behavior that causes diseases to spill over from animals into humans. To prevent further outbreaks, the experts say, both global heating and the destruction of the natural world for farming, mining, and housing have to end, as both drive wildlife into contact with people. So you can see how interconnected this is with the other issues and crises that we need to deal with. David Corton, author of many books, some of you have read some of them, I'm sure. Well, in Yes Magazine, just 29th of March, printed an essay of his that's also reprinted on Common Dreams, or at least excerpted. His essay is entitled, Why Coronavirus is Humanity's Wake-Up Call. As we awaken to the truth of the profound failure of our existing institutions, and that's a hard truth to wake up to, we also awaken to the truth of our possibilities, and that's a wonderful truth to wake up to. To wake up to our interconnections with one another and with Earth. With that awakening comes a recognition that we must now learn to live lightly on the Earth, to war no more, and to dedicate ourselves to the well-being of all in an interdependent world. We in the United States face a special challenge. We have much that the world admires, but far from being a model for others to emulate, we represent an extreme example of what the world must now leave behind. And earlier in this poignant essay, he says the speed of the resulting global shift is beyond any prior human experience. And this harkens me back to also saying this is a global pandemic, in unlike anything we've known before. And the speed has just been breathtaking. So at the same time, the crisis of the coronavirus pandemic focuses attention in the United States on the disastrous deficiency of a profiteering healthcare system. Corporations are competing only to increase their take from health expenditures while minimizing the amount of money they spend on providing care. This system is reasonably proficient in providing boutique care for the very rich at exorbitant prices, but it is disastrously deficient in addressing the health care needs of ordinary people affordably. It is similarly deficient in anticipating, preparing for, and responding to public health emergencies such as the one we are now in. So he says that not only is the health care system now being pointed out, he said, as the weeks unfold, we'll see that an economic system that values nature only for its marketplace, ignores Earth's limits, and wantonly destroys the stability of its climate and the health and purity of its air, water, and soil, this directly imperils our survival and well-being. And then he talks about the military expenditures that consume more than half of all federal discretionary funding to prepare for conventional wars of the past and engage us in unwinnable conflicts born of environmental and social collapse. So this represents wasted resources and a failing system. And then he points out the financial system devoted to generating speculative profits for the richest without the burden of contributing to meaningful livelihoods and security for those who do useful work. Money must serve us, not enslave us. I mean, it's fascinating that as this $2 trillion quote-unquote stimulus package has come out, it's clearly so heavily tilted in favor of Wall Street corporations and not to Main Street and rural area work. Many people will not even get their $1,200 from this package. So it's a redistribution of wealth in the wrong direction, consolidation of strength and wealth in the wrong direction. So these are the things that a systems thinker like David Corton recognizes, and recognizes that the coronavirus is a voice, a prophetic voice, saying, listen up, see what's underway. And there's plenty of warning in it, but plenty of hope in it, because we can see how this has come to help us to change. So, Jerry, I find it fascinating that we have a couple of futurists here, one of whom we've actually done an interview with that we want to talk about a little bit next, and take us into that, would you please?
Yes, Lee, in their article Pandemics, Lessons Looking Back from 2050, Fritjof Capra and Hazel Henderson give us some things to think about looking in the rearview mirror. Hazel is the founder of Ethical Markets and a world-renowned futurist, evolutionary economist, a worldwide syndicated columnist, consultant on sustainable development, and author. She's also been a guest, as you said, on this podcast, so see the show notes for a link to her episode. Fritjof is a physicist and a founding director of the Berkeley-based Center for Ecoliteracy, which is dedicated to advancing ecology and the systems thinking in primary and secondary education. As they say, as we move into the second half of our 21st century, we can finally make sense of the origin and impact of the coronavirus that struck the world in 2020 from an evolutionary systematic perspective. Today, in 2050, looking back on the past 40 turbulent years on our home planet, it seems obvious that the Earth has taken charge of teaching our human family. Our planet taught us the primacy of understanding of our situation in terms of whole systems, identified by some far-sighted thinkers as far back as the mid-19th century. This widening human awareness revealed how the planet actually functions. Its living biosphere systematically powered by the daily flow of photons from our mother star, the Sun. Eventually, this expanded awareness overcame the cognitive limitations and incorrect assumptions and ideologies that had created the crises of the 20th century. False theories of human development and progress, measured myopically by prices and money-based metrics such as GDP, culminating in rising social and environmental losses, pollution of air, water, and land, destruction of biological diversity, loss of ecosystem services, all exacerbated by global heating, rising sea levels, and massive climate disruptions. These myopic policies had also driven social breakdowns, inequality, poverty, mental and physical illness, addiction, loss of trust in institutions, including media, academia, and science itself, as well as loss of community solidarity. That also led to the pandemics of the 21st century, SARS, MERS, AIDS, influenza, and the various coronaviruses that emerged back in 2020. And they conclude, after all the dramatic changes we enjoy today, we realize that our lives are now less stressful, healthier, and more satisfying, and our communities plan for the long-term future. To assume the sustainability of our new ways of life, we realize that restoring ecosystems around the Earth is crucial so that viruses dangerous to the humans are confined again to other animal species where they can do no harm. To restore ecosystems worldwide, our global shift to organic, regenerative agriculture flourished, along with plant-based foods, beverages, and all the saltwater-grown foods and kelp dishes we enjoy. The billions of trees which we planted around the world after 2020, along with the agricultural improvements, gradually restored ecosystems. As a consequence of all these changes, the global climate has finally stabilized, with today's CO2 concentrations in the atmosphere returning to the safe level of 350 parts per million. Higher sea levels will remain for a century, and many cities now flourish on safer, higher ground. Climate catastrophes are now rare, while many weather events still continue to disrupt our lives, just as they did in previous centuries. The multiple global crises and pandemics, due to our earlier ignorance of planetary processes and feedback loops, had widespread tragic consequences for individuals and communities. Yet we humans have learned many painful lessons. Today, looking back from 2050, we realize that the Earth is our wisest teacher, and its terrible lessons may have saved humanity and large parts of our shared planetary community of life from extinction.
So there we have an interesting look from 30 years into the future, looking back on this time as a way to give some perspective as well of a perspective in which we actually listen to Earth and make necessary changes. I think many of us have felt for a long time that to get to a way of living that really fits on our planet, a way of living in which inequalities are truly addressed, that this isn't going to happen smoothly. People with power don't just give it up unless they have a deep conversion or a deeply coercive experience. So we are in right now an experience that can convert and is coercing some changes. The changes may not be in the right direction in some cases. The important thing I just want to kind of say is, as we draw these quotations from these different people to conclusion, is that the deep, deep change from multi-Earth living to one-Earth living now seems pretty clear is going to come with some incredible, harsh experiences to humanity. The breaking down is underway in this crisis more acutely than any other yet. And if we can't learn how to move to some of the new structures we need to align with Earth and let Earth be our teacher, who knows where the lessons may go going forward. But it's underway, and as Zachary Stein said at the start of this episode, you know, finally the end of the world has come. So the end of the world as we know it is here, and we're moving into a new space where new things are being designed. The Spirit is moving mightily, and let's encourage one another to be open to these possibilities, even as we deal with grief and suffering that we have going on amid those we love deeply. So let's just wrap this up, Jerry.
Thank you, Lee. Well, dear listener, have you listened to our recent episodes? In January, David Hofer talked about birds, insects, big ag, and spirituality. In February, we talked with a new leader at Jubilee One Earth Economics, John Michneau. In March, Dave Gardner talked about three major efforts he has developed, all designed to bring change from the present: Growth Busters, World Population Balance, and the One Planet, One Child campaign. Do listen. You're sure to pick up thoughts you'll value. We certainly did as we created those episodes. Please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Time to wrap up this episode. You can subscribe to this podcast under the name Simple Living Works at your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with co-host Lee Van Ham of Jubilee One Earth Economics, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good.
Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Come everyone who has thirst, those who have nothing come by. Why spend your labor for things that simply do not satisfy? Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. The bread in your cupboard belongs to one who is hungry out there, and the coats in your closet unused could warm up the ones who stand bare. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. See how the wealth you acquire is borne on the backs of the poor, whose children beg daily for food, whose land feeds your child who wants more. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Your children who need their own rooms lament that the forest will die, and those who would join field to field must stop long enough to ask why. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. God chose the weak of the world to shame the way of the strong. Learn how to live from the poor. Their wisdom will help us belong. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live. Do not conform to the world. Be certain that better's not more. Contentment will transform your need, awakening what God has in store. simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.